like it. I don't like to be cooped up. I don't like the whole airport thing. You know, it's kind of a precursor to me to the coming Holocaust. But anyway, here's my point. My point is that no matter where you are in life, because I feel like I've gone through so many things, God always has a Nineveh for us. And we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about the fact that everyone has a Nineveh. And if we don't move on it, God's going to remove our shade tree. All right? Now listen to me. It's important. God's going to remove the shade tree. And that's why it's important, I think, for us to listen this morning. What I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak, not me. I have no capability of, you know, I can't remember all the alphabet, but I'm praying that God will use me. Just let me tell you another thing. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning here, and I didn't want to get up at 6 o'clock and prepare a sermon. I thought, well, we'll just do a rerun. I told my wife, I said, well, let's just do a rerun. I can sleep. And God said, no. No. Because there may be one person out there that needs to hear the message, David, that I'm giving you to give them. Do you see what I'm saying? Folks, I couldn't escape it. I tried to hide under my shade tree. I tried to stay comfortable, but God wouldn't let me. And I thank God for dealing with me. I just thank him so much because as long as God is dealing with you, about your Nineveh, which we're going to talk about. And he's taken away your shade tree, which we're going to talk about. You have to know that you're his child. That's proof he loves you. That's proof that you're in heaven for eternity. Do you understand? Do you understand the consequences of that? It's amazing. I want to bring Shanita on. Good morning. How are you?
So happy to be here. Wow.
Yeah. So we're talking this morning about me not wanting to really come out here, and a good friend of mine is out here. He runs the festival, and he called me and asked me to come. That's part of the reason, but the main reason is God told me. And you know, Shanita, can you attest to the fact that I didn't want to come all the way out here, that I didn't want to travel 3 days or fly on a plane?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot out of you to be there 3 days, but 2 days traveling, it, yeah.
Well, yeah, and then we're going to go back. I got to fly back across country for this coming weekend to the Warrior Bride Conference, and then got to fly back again back into LA because we're showing Last Evangelist Church. But here's my point. My point is this: some people love flying. You love flying. I don't. I mean, I'd rather slide down a razor blade, you know, naked into a pool of alcohol. Did I just say that? Well, I mean, in other words, I don't like it. It's not something you know, I'll lay awake at night in bed going, God, don't let me go there. But that is my Nineveh. You know, that is my, and then God takes away that shade tree. And so I have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to go find another shade tree? Or am I going to get out and do what God tells me to do? And I've learned that if I go looking for shade, I'm suffering the consequences. Any last words you'd like to share this morning before we get into it?
Yeah, there's just tremendous reward. There's blessing for obedience. And, you know, sometimes the enemy tries to block us from receiving that blessing.
Yeah.
And we have to contend for it.
They do. They do. And, I had someone tell me about the red carpet, and you know, I talked about this for years, and they emailed me, said, David, the red carpet is the devil. It's, you know, a sign from hell. It's a, you know, well, you know, it's what you lay on something, okay? It can be purple, green, it doesn't have to be red. But let me show you an example. When I walk a red carpet out here in Hollywood, Shanita, when I walk a red carpet, I'm walking on the blood of Jesus. Okay. Now, this is the red carpet I just went to last night for the festival. Of course, we're up for an award, so they were photographing me. But I'm standing on a carpet. It is red. But folks, let me tell you something. Because I'm a child of God. When I step on ground, it becomes holy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. You're a child of God. When you're righteous with God, doesn't mean you have to be pure. It doesn't mean that, you know, you fasted for 40 days and you abstained. No. But when you hunger for God and you're righteous, when you step mm-hmm. on a piece of ground, it becomes holy. It destroys the strongholds. Mm-hmm. So when somebody tells me, David, stay away from red carpets, I'm telling you this. I don't stay away from red carpets. I stand on them. When I do, it becomes holy. And that red represents the blood of Jesus. Shanita, I'm preaching already this morning.
Amen.
I'm telling you. So when you walk into a room and God calls you to your Nineveh, to where you're supposed to be, and everyone has a Nineveh. Mine happens to be Hollywood. Mine happens to be a certain thing, right? And Nineveh is not geographical. Nineveh can be something, your assignment God's given you, okay? Mm-hmm. But when you step onto that ground that is the battleground, it becomes holy. Right. There's a war because you're a child of God. You're God's mm-hmm. warrior. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in that enemy there, okay?
Exactly.
So you mm-hmm. pulverize them. You take authority.
That's right.
All right. All right. Yeah.
Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what the truth we stand on. They're Amen. Demolished.
Yeah, because you know, I'm so tired of these wimpy Christian teachings of how we're supposed to run away from things, abstain from this and that, and be, you know, this syrupy sermons that gives you a truth decay, right? I'm tired of it. We have the authority. God's given it to us. Now, we don't walk into, you know, strip joints and bar rooms and all that kind of stuff expecting, you know, God's going to always put a covering over us. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. That's not what I'm talking about. But don't be afraid of things. Don't go hide your head in the sand, right? Take authority. God sent you out on a battlefield. You take authority. You take the sword, the offense, the word of God, and you walk into that. So when I go into these film festivals, I don't go in preaching. I just go in with authority. No one, I know people can feel that the demons shake, but mm-hmm. I don't talk. I listen, Shanita. I listen because God tells me, he says, David, you have two ears, one mouth. Listen. Then I'll tell you the door you need to walk through when you see it open. Don't go in there with some agenda and start preaching to people. And I'm telling you all the time, he always leads me to the right person, that one person that I need to talk to.
Exactly.
And it's because of everyone in our church here and our family have prayed for us, put an anointing, a covering over us. Okay. That's number one. Without that, folks, I don't care how much money we had, I don't care how much prestige, we would be dead in the water without your prayers of covering, okay? Number two is the encouragement. They people, Shanita, in this family, they encourage us, you and I, so much and keep me going and say, David, don't stop. David, you've helped us. David, you know, not me, but God has used us. Mm-hmm. And number three, financial gifts. Donations. That is simply a manifestation of what people believe that God has told them to help us. Because, folks, if we don't do what we need to do, the devil is going to take stronghold. You know, AI is coming up. If we don't jump in here and grab a hold of it and be the first in and be the ones to understand it and use it but then it's going to be the devil's going to own everything. And I'm telling you, AI, since I've been out here, it's like growing like crazy with these films. And if we don't get into a place like Hollywood or these kinds of places where people haven't really known God, they don't know who God really is. And if we don't get in there and be representatives, ambassadors for him, how are they ever going to know? They're just going to. Yeah, people don't hate God. A lot of times, you know, I'm an atheist, agnostic. You know, they don't hate God, Shanita. What they do is they hate the idea the representation that the religious church has given. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because when I get down into it, into conversations with people, mm-hmm. I'll find out they are really hungry for true spiritual food. They don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but they're hungry for it. They want to be filled.
Well, just like all over the years, the majority of people that you've had conversations with who identify as homosexual, they're not necessarily practicing the lifestyle. They just maybe feel like they need a label, or they need a place of belonging, a place of acceptance, because they've had wounds that haven't been healed.
Well, of course. I mean, look, we all want to belong. Okay. And that's another thing too. We can go on and on because I feel like God has a word I need to get out. But when people get into certain lifestyles, and by the way, heterosexual perversion is another lifestyle that God does not condone. Okay. Exactly. So don't ever sit out there and think on your holy rear end that, well, you know what? I am living with somebody. I'm not married, you know, or I sleep around a little bit because I'm single, whatever, but I'm not gay, but I'm not trans, but I'm not whatever. Stop that, because that right there is what drives people that are in different lifestyles back into a deeper hole. They want to stay away mm-hmm. from people like that. Okay. Yeah. And that's why we have to understand we're human beings we're all hungry. We all have needs. And, mm-hmm. You know, and so anyway, well, thank you. I'm going to bring you on a little bit. We got some prayer requests, and I'm excited about Underground this morning.
Very excited.
All right. All right. Let's get to it, folks. All right. So what's the deal here? I told you about California. I told you where I am. I'm so happy to be here because this is where God wants me, right? But I had a shade tree. I was sitting in Indiana under a nice shade tree. And God spoke to me, says, you go to Nineveh. You go to California. Now, I don't want you to think that this is all about Hollywood and all about me and all about movies. No, it's about you. Everyone has a Nineveh. Everyone. You, if you're listening to me and you're breathing and you're sitting or standing upright, you have a place where God wants you to be. It may not be geographical, okay? But it may be steps you need to take towards something God has commissioned you to do. Let's get into it. All right. I read the book of Jonah. And the reason it hits home is because God told me years ago he was judging California. He did. He told me. He says, I'm judging California. So I left. Then God said, no, you go back. So I did go back. And I preached for about 4 years in a little church, Methodist church. Meanwhile, I said to God, you told me you were judging California, and I'm seeing people prosper. So I left again. And I started a church in Atlanta, Georgia. But I started my church, not God's. God said, you're going to start preaching truth. I did. I drove a church down from a congregation of 300 people to 7. God humbled me. He put me in a house with no furniture. And during the wintertime, woke me up 3:00 in the morning. And he gave me my Nineveh. It was called The Last Evangelist. He said, you will take this back into your Nineveh that I'm giving you, and you will do it. I learned at that point because God took everything away from me. He took all provision. Even my family, I was separated, not because, you know, there was animosity. It's because God had put me in a situation where I had to do certain things. So Jonah, we're going to read Jonah 4. It's not just a story about a man in a tree. It's about every one of us who have ever lost something precious. And this is about you this morning. Jonah's shade tree. See, Jonah was ordered to preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to. He ran the other way. Eventually, after a three-day stay in the belly of a well, he obeyed. He preached the people repented and God showed mercy. 3 days, folks, took me 3 days to drive across here if I were to drive. 3 days. But then after they repented, Jonah, instead of celebrating, he sat at a distance and he built himself a shelter. And he waited to see what would happen. So this is what I want to touch on this morning. Many of you out there have lost something. I've lost things, and we're going to talk about this. You're either losing something now or you have lost something. Now, listen to me. I'm going to struggle through this. Things very dear to your heart. Think about it. Write it down. What is it? Let's talk about it. Relationships. Right now, you're either losing a relationship or you've lost a relationship very dear to you. Perhaps you're separated from your family. Perhaps you're still with your family, but you don't have a good relationship. Perhaps you've lost your friend. Perhaps you're having problems at work. Relationships, relating, connection. I once preached a funeral for a woman I called my second mom, called her Mama Booth. When I was in Nashville writing songs, she took me into her home. She treated me like a son. She was like a mom to me, and she got cancer. This was some years back, and it destroyed her little body. And as I looked down into the casket, I asked God, I said, God, why'd you take her like this? She's a good woman. She helped people. Why, God? And I was sitting there grieving over my relationship that I lost. But as I left the funeral, the room in the funeral home, I noticed there was another room full of mourners, and they were down the hall, and I walked down the hall, and I saw inside through the door, I saw 5 caskets. It was a father and his 4 children. All died in a car accident. But then I saw a woman standing there, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and it was the mother. I walked over and I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. You lost your 4 children, your whole family, your husband." And she looked at me and she said, "Sir, I can see God's hand. I can see God's hand. Through all of this, through losing, she could see God's hand." I'll never forget those words. They didn't make sense to me then, but now I understand. She was thanking God even in the loss. Maybe you're losing a relationship. Maybe you've lost one. I want you to thank God that you even had that relationship to start out with. Don't think about the fact that you lost it. See, when Jonah was sitting underneath the tree, he was waiting, looking at his assignment. He wasn't moving forward. And God knew that. God saw that he was not moving forward. So God took away his shade. And instead of thanking God for the shade that he had during the time he had it, the provision, he basically cursed the fact that God took the tree away. God said, "Wait a minute. You didn't make that tree. I gave you that tree. That was a gift." Folks, these relationships we have, our family, our friends, they are gifts from God. We have no right to them. You say, "David, I had my kids. I raised them." Yeah, you did, and I did. We have no right to that. Those kids don't belong to us. We're doing it for God. That friend you've had for years might have passed away, your mother, your father. You had no right to them. They were a gift from God. Even some of you, I know in the ministry, you were raised as orphans. You were raised in places that were just horrible. But somewhere there was some good. Look at you now. Would you be here where you are now if you had not given that space, that place when you were young, even though there's horrible things that happened? Somewhere there was good in it. It was a gift from God. It was the hand of the devil, but God takes it and he twists it and makes it. A gift for you, a gift for me. Money. It's a big one. I was making a lot in Hollywood. God called me into the ministry, and I knew when I released that first video, I knew I was going to get calls from my agent, from my manager. They all disowned me because I started telling the truth. I mean, I had them tell me, David, you can't tell people they're going to hell. What right do you have? I said, I don't have any right. I'm just a messenger. That's an evangelist. I'm just reading what the Father says is going to happen. I don't wish anybody into hell. I certainly have no authority to send anybody to hell. So money, anyway, money went away as I preached. The harder I preached, the more truth I preached, the less money there was. But God provided. God provided. So maybe you've had it, maybe you've lost it, maybe you're losing it. But did you ever stop to thank God that you had it in the first place? That there's many that don't even have what you had, what I had? Or do we think we have a right to it? Some of us, we've lost family members, either because of our faith or because they passed away. And many of us, myself included, we didn't grow up in perfect families, a dysfunctional family. But even though I thank God for giving me what he's given me, because I look at the precious pearls that came within the slop that I was wallowing in. Maybe you got a husband. You're going through a divorce. I do not believe in divorce. I do not condone divorce. So don't get me wrong. This is not what I'm saying. Maybe you have a wife going through a separation, and you're hurting. You have a choice to be better or bitter. Let me tell you something. You thank God for what you're losing, and you'll get something back tenfold. If you thank God for what you're losing, you'll get more back than you could ever imagine. I believe that in divorce, if people would just thank God for the person that they're divorcing, chances are the divorce will not go through, or they'll somehow come back together. But it's when we get mad. It's when we think we have a right. It's when we curse God. Why'd you take that away from me? That's mine. Health. Let's talk about that. Many of us struggle with health. I've struggled with health. Maybe you have a heart condition. Maybe your heart's not working the way it needs to work. But did you ever stop and thank God for the years that it did work okay? You say, God, my heart was good when I was born. My heart worked so many years. I thank you for that. Maybe you were born with a heart defect or born with some type of illness. Say, David, what do I do with that? I've never It never was good. Let me ask you a question. Are you breathing? Can you pinch yourself and feel the pain? Are you here this morning? Are you hungering for God? Can you thank him for that? Because that breath that you have, that I have, that's a gift. Every time you breathe is a gift from God. Because it was a gift up until the time you accepted Christ. You understand that if you did not accept Christ and that gift of breath was taken away, you would be in hell for eternity? So would I. So my guy got mad, said, I'm mad because I don't have a hat. I feel sorry for myself. Woe is me. I don't have a hat. Then he saw a guy that had no head. He said, well, maybe I don't have it so bad. Born with a condition. I don't want to go down a different path, but I want to share something to you. Most of the time, people are sick, myself included. It's self-inflicted. You see, our bodies have certain things that are weak links. It's just we're born into this world, into this body. So what happens? The devil attacks those weak links. And then what happens? We focus on those weak links. Instead of giving God the glory, giving God the thanks, and believing that we are healthy, believing that God is restoring us back, believing, you're a faith, person of faith, use that faith. Otherwise, I don't know, why? I used to go to churches on Wednesday nights, prayer meetings on Wednesday nights. No, they weren't. They were pity parties. Oh, Lord, Agnes has cancer and, you know, Gerald's got a heart condition and so on. And that's it. Oh, my, I can't handle this. I can't take it. I can't take all these whiners, these winos, I call them, winos. Folks, the reason most people are sick is because they've inflicted it upon themselves. It's because the demons attack them and they focus on the sickness instead of on the healer. And if you thank God for what he's given you, your breath, and start there and start working from your breath on and thank him for every organ in your body that is healthy, I guarantee you that whatever is inflicted upon you will vanish. Well, I say guarantee. I can't guarantee anything. But the Word of God can. Your thoughts, your inner creates your outer world. Your words, God spoken into existence. We are created in his image. We can speak things into existence. No, I don't want to get into New Age and all. That's not what I'm talking about. And by the way, New Age has more probably a truth about God than the church does today, even though they're off in left field. But at least they've got more truth within their false doctrine than the religious system has in their doctrine at all. Listen, I'm going to go to comments and see what everybody's saying here. I'm going to see if I'm being tar and feathered this morning, or if you guys, if you're in agreement with some of the things that that I'm saying. Okay. Janie said, and I think she's in Scotland. She says, I'm the one with the congenital heart defect. God kept me alive and so functional that the doctors took nearly 40 years to notice. I made a life, found a lovely husband, had a career. Now I'm 55. God bless you. She's part of the family, comes on underground. Perfect. Thank you for this testimony. Okay, she says that she had the congenital heart defect, so evidently born with it of some sort. God kept her alive and so functional that the doctors took nearly 40 years to notice it. But she made a life, found a love. You see the positive approach that she took on this? Kay says, I've struggled all my life trying to do better. Okay, we're going to talk about that. We are talking about that. So I want to get back into this shade tree. All right. This is 5 Acre Farmer. Let's see what 5 Acre says. David, that's a great way to look at lost relationships. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, 5 Acre. I appreciate it. God bless you. Let's see what anybody else here has to say. Okay. Barbara says, David, I love waking up to your amazing words. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate that. And again, I want to tell you guys, I kind of was thinking, well, God, can I just do a rerun on something we've done earlier? And God said, no. So what? A rerun? God said, I don't do reruns. God said, I'm not a sequel. He said, you set up, you sit there. And even though you didn't went to bed so late last night and you got 2 hours sleep or 3 hours, you sit there, David, open your mouth and I'll give you some words. So thank you, Barb, for saying that. I appreciate that so much. Okay, so let's get back to you guys here. So we're talking about Jonah. We're talking about the shade tree. Now, he gave Jonah an assignment. You have an assignment right now. You say, David, I don't know what that is. We're going to pray this morning. You do know what it is and believe it. But then most of you know that God gave you this assignment. But many years ago, you became comfortable. So in scripture, what happened was Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He wanted to go to a safe place, right? Place he wanted to go to. He wanted to stay safe and, you know, live his life the way he wanted to do it. But God said, no, you go to Nineveh. Well, Jonah built for him. In scripture, it says he built for him some shelter. That's important because he already had shelter. Many of us, we have our own ideas, want to do it. We create our own life, build it the way we want to build it, right? But then God says, no, you have an assignment. You have something I need for you to do. You have a Nineveh. I'm not talking about a place necessarily. I'm talking about an assignment. And does it have to be some huge assignment like I have with Last Evangelist? I mean, it's a major thing. No. It could be something today that he needs for you to do. But you're underneath that shade tree and he takes it away and you start cursing God. God, why'd you take away my provision? Why'd you take away my house? Why'd you take away my family? Why? Because if God did not shake us and wake us up, we're going to stay in the same place the rest of our lives until we go to ashes. Those things did not belong to us. They were gifts from God. They will be taken away by God if we do not move. Now, let me explain something, I think, a little bit deeper. All right. The shade tree blocks us from the burning sun, all right? From the burning sun. The burning sun, I want you to think the analogy is the enemy. It's the thing that makes us uncomfortable. It's the thing that's painful. It's the thing that can hurt. That was the burning sun. You ever been in the desert? I've been in the desert. 120 degrees, you'll die. It is not your friend. So anybody tell you, well, God made the sun, everything's your friend. Well, yeah, you look at it that way and you'll be burnt up to a crisp. He did make everything. But in this case, I want you to look at the sun, Jonah, as the enemy. I want you to look at what you need. Your fear is the sun. Your pain You step out of your shade. You're no longer comfortable. You're doing what God tells you to do. You're Nineveh. That's your burning sun. That's your enemy. But when you step out of the shade, or when God takes that shade away from you and you no longer curse the fact that he's done it, and you realize that that was a gift, and also that was a sign of what you were supposed to do, but you didn't do it. When you get to that point and you say, I'm walking out into that burning sun, into that enemy, you will realize that you have the Son of God in you, the S-O-N in you, and you can face the S-U-N above you. Let me say it again. When you step out from under your shade tree, and I suggest you do it before God takes it away, because he will take it away. I promise you. If you think you're comfortable, if you're just mailing it in, waking up every morning and doing the same thing over and over again, expecting some different result, or maybe not expecting, you just want to live your life till you die. God's not going to have that. He has an assignment for you. He has a reason. He has a purpose for you. You're not here by accident. You're not with us by accident. You're not here this morning by accident. You're here because he's telling you, I have something you need to do. You have a purpose. You had it before I put you in the womb. So when you are willing to step out of your shade into the burning sun, S-U-N, you will realize you have the Son, S-O-N, in you. And greater is the Son, S-O-N, you, than the Son, S-U-N, in the sky. That's what God showed me. Some years ago, about 3-4 years ago, God told me to do a Sunday morning sermon. Now, I'd been releasing videos. I had the Monday night. It's just me and my wife. I don't have the people to help me that we really need. And some of you all out there do help us, and I appreciate that. But we're always understaffed. I said, God, I got another? Really? Sunday morning? He said, yeah. Well, there's another problem with this. My wife likes to go to church on Sunday morning. She likes to go to a church building. This was back then. Not so much now, but back then. And I had a son at that time living in the house. They like to go to a church. But I knew that when I started doing this 11 o'clock Monday morning sermon with you all, because you all are the church and we are the church, you are family, I knew I was going to run into resistance. And I love my wife, and she's a great lady. There's nobody like her. I'm just using her for example, and I hope she doesn't get mad at me. But she was used to going to a building. She was used to going to somewhere where someone would be in a pulpit and preach and, you know, do everything. And I wouldn't go. I said, I can't. I have to stay here. I said, God's given me a Nineveh. He's given me an assignment. I got to do it. Because there's somebody there that needs to hear what God's saying through me. And so I had to do it, and I did it every morning. I've done it every morning. I'm not patting myself on the back. What I'm trying to do is tell you all that I had a shade tree. I had a little bit of shade left, and God said, move out from underneath the shade tree. You need to go on Sunday morning. I said, God, 11 o'clock, that's when everybody's going to church. He said, yes, I know. You are the church. I want everybody to go. You see, I'm not competing with other churches. When you're in the kingdom of God and you're doing what God tells you to do, you're not competing with anybody. There's no competition. So God said, no, you do it 11 o'clock Sunday morning. And I have, and that's what I've been doing. And there's times my wife stood at the door. She didn't want to stay with me and do this. I mean, it's not her fault. Please don't judge her at all. Not, no. But her dad was a pastor, and she was used to that. And that's what we all have, our shade tree. We all have our thing we're used to. Now she supports us, and she takes prayer requests, and she loves it, right? I'm not saying we don't go to a church every once in a while. If you know, we're on the road or something, or there's some major event or whatever. But what I'm trying to tell you folks is when God gives you an assignment, that Nineveh, it's always going to be something that's uncomfortable. You're always going to run into a resistance, all right? But if you'll just stick with it, God will take it. Because remember what I said, when you put your foot down, where you step is holy ground. It becomes holy. So I started, and then all of a sudden, donations went down. I lost my production staff that did all the technical stuff that you see happening now, even though it may not look like much, but it is. So I lost all that. And here I am on my own. I said, God, you've given me, you told me to make bricks, but I have no straw. I have no straw. I can't keep making these bricks. I'm doing Monday's show. I'm doing these videos. I'm doing Last Evangelist. I'm doing this, doing that, and I'm losing people. How much more difficult will it be? See, I was crying to God. Pity party. I had this pity party. And God told me, he says, I want you to look around. I did. He said, tell me what you see. I said, well, we made episode one, Last Evangelist, and, you know, I have a David Hebner TV and, you know, everything's struggling, but I have it. He says, how'd you get it? I said, well, first I wanted to say, well, I did it. And then, you know, I caught myself. God, I said, God, you gave it to me. He says, you're right. You got it. That's a gift I gave to you. He said, it's a gift. You had no right to this. There's nothing you did to deserve it. I gave it to you as a gift. That's when I understood what it is I'm telling you guys. No matter what you're losing right now, no matter what you've lost right now, thank God that you had it. And when you do, I can't say I promise you, but when you do, I've seen it 9 times out of 10, boomerang back around and come back to you tenfold. Shade trees come and grow, but obedience lasts forever. Let's go to the scripture. I always like going to scripture and reading it, even though I've already kind of spoke it. Jonah 4, 6, and 7. God prepared a plant, made it come up over Jonah, and it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Yeah, we are. We're grateful. When God gives us things, we're thankful. Thank you, God, for giving me this. Well, giving me this money, giving this job, giving me this, that, give me that, give me that. But as the morning dawned, next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant, and it withered, and it caused the sun to beat down upon Jonah. So let me ask you a question. Many of you are in different stages, phases of this, what I'm getting ready to ask you. But are you at the place where God has given you that shade tree and you're living pretty good right now? You don't feel a lot of pain. Be honest, okay? However, God's given you a purpose, an assignment. You know that. Say, David, I don't know my assignment. You know a good way to tell what your assignment is? Get out from underneath your shade tree. Get out underneath. Face the sun, S-U-N, of fear. And know that you have the S-O-N, the Son of God, in you. God will honor that. He will bring to mind your assignment. And by the way, each and every one of us really knows what it is. We've been brainwashed through the years as kids. We've been told we can't do this, we can't do that. Okay. So you have an assignment. Some of you have lost your shade tree and you're miserable. And you've been standing in this burning sun, S-U-N, cursing God, questioning God, running to doctors, trying to fix this, fix that, running to psychiatrists, fix this, fix that, trying to get a job, trying to do this. But if you'll just stop right now. What you doing? You look at that S-U-N in the sky that wants to take you out, burn you down, destroy you. And you understand that you proclaim it now. I have the Son, the S-O-N, the begotten Son, the only Son of the living God in me. The power that Jesus had was transferred to me. Every time I take a step into a place, it becomes holy ground, if you'll say that right now. And then you'll look at that S-U-N, in the name of Jesus, I command you, S-U-N, you will go dim. There is no power, no weapon formed against me that can hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I hereby cast you out. And that S-O-N is the Son of God. The S-U-N represents F-E-A-R, fear. Fear. That's what most of us have, fear. And what is fear? Fear is not real. It's just the anticipation of something that we think might happen. We have no evidence that things are going to happen. You have a fear of it. I have a fear of it. It's the thought of what might happen, not what is happening. It's how we process it. So my Nineveh, California, and I'm not telling you I'm out here going to stay the rest of my life. I'm not. Well, I'm not going to say I'm not. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. But I'm here. And I will be here and come here and do what God tells me to do. As long as God tells me to do it. Do I like it? No. Is it uncomfortable? You bet. But I can tell you one thing. I'd rather do what I'm doing now and feel what I feel now than stay underneath my shade tree and all of a sudden God sends a worm, eats it up, and the pain I feel at that point. Because then I'm spiritually bankrupt. Because I've turned my back on God, on my assignment. And now I got the Sun, S-U-N, burning down on me. And it's harder to get up off my knees at that point, you see. There's somebody right now depending on you. You're someone's last evangelist. Don't let them down. I talk about we are black sheep. I preached on this. We're black sheep. We don't fit in with the rest. We're black sheep. But because we're black, we can go into the night and no one can see us and we can do things that others can't do. And we are always in search of that one lost sheep. Do you follow? California, this film festival, friend of mine, Jeff Rector, there he is. He's a Christian, but he's on the front lines, folks. Good guy. But he's on the front lines. He's a Christian in Hollywood, but he's not just some pansy old Christian. There's a lot of Christians here. They say they're Christians, and maybe they are, I don't know. But this guy's on the front line. He runs the film festival. He's a filmmaker, actor. He's in the trenches. People like that need help. You can't leave them alone. If you've got the power to help people, maybe God's saying to you right now, David, God's touching my heart. I want to help people. If you'd like to be part of this ministry, I'd love for you to be. Just let me know. We need true help. And I know people, you're busy and you got things going on. I appreciate that. But if God's laying on your heart, and also too, if God's laying on your heart, you can donate. I still get people say, David, how do I donate? Well, this is why I put the card up every week. I don't push people into it, but if you want to donate at davidhevener.tv/give or text the word chosen to 91999 or call 844-806-0006. What do we do? We travel and do what we're doing. We make last evangelists with this. Everything you see is what we do. We have the film festival. Like I said, there's Last Evangelist. It's at this film festival, but we also have our own film festival coming up in November 15th, and you can be a part of that film festival. It's the LastEvangelistFestival.com. It's a film and music festival. I would encourage you to get your tickets now. Go to LastEvangelist.com. Support us. You can go online. You can be with us online or in person. I'm going to be teaching on film. We're going to be showing films. We're going to be praying over filmmakers, all of this stuff. And we have had some of you donate to help us with this ministry. It's going to cost us about $3,500 to do it. And I've had some people donate, give some precious gifts. And I really appreciate you all. I really do. But we're far from there. If God lays it on your heart and you want to help us out, that would be great. I'd appreciate it. And also, please tell people about David Hebner TV. And I hope you're watching free on the live show on Sunday and Monday. It's free. You know, get people to go there and watch it free. And then if they do, maybe they'll sign up, you know, on all these shows and different things that we teach, right? And you can watch Last Evangelist, episode 1, 2, and 3. All right. So let's close on this. I'm going to bring Shanita in. Where does this leave us? Jonah had an assignment. He kept looking at his assignment, but he never moved toward it. And the God took away the provision. So stop negotiating with God right now. Stop negotiating. No matter where you are in your pain and your addiction. And by the way, I didn't hit on addiction. David, how does addiction fit into this? All addiction is a manifestation of fear. You have to somehow numb the pain. But if you'll step out and start thanking God for everything you have, and everything that you did have, and everything that was taken away for two reasons. Number one is you got it and didn't deserve it. Number two, he took it away so he could get you to move in the right direction. Thank him for that. Praise him for that. Stop negotiating. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop doing what I used to do when you would pray to God and say, God, would you do this for me? But then I would try to manipulate things to get it done for myself instead of depending on God to do it for me. So maybe today you have lost your shade. Maybe you have a broken family. Maybe you have an illness that you say, David, sometimes I don't want to live another day. It hurts. Financial. Maybe you're losing your house. Maybe you don't know where the provisions come. Folks, right now, if you'll just thank God for what you have and what you did have and understand that you didn't deserve it, I can tell you, in my life, for me, 100%, something, either it or something better has come back to me. Okay, I can testify that because that's my own life. But we must thank God and appreciate what we have. I'll bring on Shanita. Hey.
Wow. Dude. That's powerful.
So you're in a car. You must have heard the sermon. Now you're on your way to Nineveh.
That's right.
You got out of your shade tree.
I'm willing. Yep. When the Lord changes my circumstances, I'm willing to move. Yes.
Absolutely. And so, Shanita, I hear you and the gals praying every week. You all pray for people. I'm telling you, it touches my heart. Those prayers move mountains, let me tell you. And you don't have to do it. The gals don't have to get together and pray. They got things they could do, but prayer is so important. Okay, any prayer requests, praise reports?
Well, I do want to speak to people who are feeling worthless and helpless and discouraged and defeated. People have shared with me this week, they're struggling with depression, they're struggling with suicidal thoughts. So this is your reminder, no matter when you're watching or where you're watching from, that you are accepted, you belong, you're chosen,
you're desired, you're cherished.
Amen. Amen. We're going to bust those strongholds this morning. We've got a few minutes here. Do we have any prayer requests?
Yeah. And a praise report. We had prayed for provision for the festival and for filming the next few episodes. And we want to thank Brian and Ruth. We want to thank Dr. Russell. We have been blessed abundantly, and we're very grateful. And we are praying this week for Kay, for Lori's family, for Richard, for Bowie. We're standing firm in our authority for radical healing when he sees the doctor this week and gets the reports. And any other requests, please email those to admin@davidhebner.tv, and we will be praying with you this week.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you, Shanita. I appreciate you so much. I love you, and call me when you get to your Nineveh, okay?
Yeah, thank you for being willing to obey, to hear the voice of the Lord and heed it. That makes all the difference for our marriage, our ministry, our family, our children and grandchildren. And
thank you so much. God bless you. All right. Folks, right now I want to pray for you guys. Now, there's something that just hit me that's important. Depression. I've been there. I know depression. It's a dark place to be. So right now, I don't have a guitar because I'm on the road. I couldn't bring it with me, but I have music in my heart. We have an altar right here, right where you are. There's an altar. If God's leading you right now to get on your knees, go ahead and kneel. It's okay. Right where you are. Do you have to? No, but does it show a sign of humbleness, of brokenness? Of yielding, yes. So let's kneel. Now, on this altar, I want you to take this depression. I want you to take this anxiety. I want you to take this brokenness. Take this relationship that you're having that's in turmoil. I want you to take your sickness, be specific. Is it something with your heart, your liver? Something, I want you to lay it down right here. Whatever that is, addiction, lay it down. Father, right now, we have laid down on the altar everything we spoke of and even more. Right now, we're your children, hungry. We want to be fed, but Father, before we ask for food, right now we thank you for giving us everything you have given us and everything you have taken away. Thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for this family that we have to support each other. God, most of all, thank you for letting us go through what we're going through, because it proves that we are your children. We are willing to go through this hell in order to step into heaven for eternity. Right now, people are being set free all over the world. Addictions broken. Healing's happening, commanding a healing. I believe right now somebody is dying and we're raising them from the dead. We're preaching the true gospel to the world. And right now, Father, someone's been going through addiction and depression and anxiety, and you are obliterating that right now. They are overcoming it. Something's happening, and we thank you, Father, that they will never go back there again. The chains have been broken. There's a relationship out there, Father, that you are now at this point mending. The person can't see it, but they will see it in the next week to come. We pray for the children that are lost, that are kidnapped, that have been abducted. We ask again for protection. Bring them home, Father. Do not let the mother go to that clinic. Shut them all down. Shut those clinics down. In Jesus' name. Amen.